In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good afternoon. I'm taking my glasses off because they're hurting my nose right now. It's not adjusted properly in that way. And so if I can't see you in the back, maybe that's a blessing, maybe that's a curse, I don't know. But you all look a lot more attractive now, I can say that. If you take your glasses off, I might too. Good. We have lots of great things going on today. I apologize for being a little bit tardy today. We had First Communions in Fort Sumner today, or rather in Santa Rosa today, a lot of them, and they demanded quite a lot of attention, those beautiful young children. Such good kids. It was good to see them all and their many family members. We'll be preparing ours soon for the same. Does anybody know what's special about today? What's special about today? Do you know? It's the 1st of May. May 1st. That's right. That's right. It is the merry month of May. As we all know, the childhood thing that we used to say back and forth, right? April flowers bring what? Mary's flowers. That's right. April showers bring Mary's flowers. And so this is the month where especially we want to do those things like that. Acts of love to her, whether it's at your home altars that you have here, here within the church, to adorn her altars with beautiful flowers of gifts of love. To be able to offer in that way. And so make sure to do that, to honor her with those May flowers during this month, which is the Mary month, Mama Mary's month. Next week, we have the month of the other mothers who aren't named Mary. Or maybe you are named Mary, but you're just not Mama Mary that we usually talk about who's immaculate. So we'll be having that especially that day. What I want to also remind you of is there's something else that goes on today, the 1st of May. What do we celebrate? St. Joseph the Worker. San Jose Obrero, right? St. Joseph the Worker. And so because of that, we're going to let's offer a prayer to St. Joseph the Worker, particularly for those of us who work and need to work well. All of us have labor within our lives. There's not a single one who doesn't. And so let us go to him asking as we pray. Dear patron of God's church, you are honored by her as a worker, a humble carpenter of Nazareth. According to St. Teresa of Avila, you are the universal in all your intercessions. Inspire workers in all kinds of work, wherever their footsteps take them, your faithful servants, that they may be coupled with charity and justice, becoming followers of Jesus Christ, your Son. Blessed St. Joseph, patron of all working people, obtain for us the grace to labor in a spirit of penance, for this the atonement of our many sins. Help us to be conscious in our work that we may give as full a measure as we have received. May we labor in a spirit of thankfulness and joy, ever mindful of all the gifts that we have received from God that enable us to perform these particular tasks. Permit us to work in peace, in patience, and in moderation, keeping in mind the account we must one day give for the time lost, for the talents unused, for the good we've omitted, and for the vanity of success that we've attributed to ourselves, so fatal to the work of God. Glorious Saint Joseph, may all of our labors be all for Jesus. May they be all through Mary, and may they all be after your holy example in life and in death. In the name of the Father, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Son of the Holy Spirit. Miss Ramona Lucero asks for your prayers, so please keep her in prayer during this time. It doesn't affect you, but I'll share it with you anyway. This upcoming Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I will be in Albuquerque at St. Anne's Parish. That's Father Nick's parish. He used to be the pastor there in Santa Rosa. And I'll be offering a mission on Our Lady of Fatima there for those 3 days. At the night, 6:30 p.m. on Saturday, Friday, and Thursday, and 9 a.m. on Saturday, just to talk about those things and to lead them into deeper Marian consecration. During these moments beginning the month of May. And so if you want to in some way, you just happen to be in Albuquerque, you're welcome to attend. If you just want to garner from the goods that are there, the talks will be recorded and put up on the same place where they always are. And if you can figure out wherever it is that they're going to live stream things, if it actually happens, they haven't told me it was, you can watch it live if you want to. But pray that it goes well. We want Our Lady to be better known and loved within our diocese. She indeed is the Queen of Heaven and Earth, but she desires to be queen of our hearts as well. Let's listen to the words of the Holy Gospel. Our Lord says, Peter, do you love me more than these? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If you came into Mass today, many of us have come into our church feeling a little bit like maybe we're frauds, or maybe that we're hypocrites, or even failures at this time. Because there's something that's going on in my life that I've not let go of, that stays hidden within me, that I have not yet had the courage to release and to confess, because I've got some sort of sinful habit that I know about, and I face all the time, but nobody else does. Because there's something with my history that's dark, that just hasn't seen the light of Christ yet. Nobody else knows it, but I'm painfully aware of it right now. And I feel alone, and I feel full of shame and isolated, because no one else knows about it. But if they did, I know that it'd be totally destroyed. And so we're in that state, we have an inner turmoil, an agonizing restlessness, that we're just saying, if I could just have a do-over, another try, it wouldn't turn out the same as it did that one time. If you're feeling that way, well, then chose the right Sunday to come to Mass. You chose the right gospel to hear our Lord speak for you and me, because our Lord Jesus, he wants to do the exact same thing that he does for Simon Peter way back 2,000 years ago. He wants to do it for you and for me in the exact same way that he does it. He can help you and I to get more depth into what actually is going on here. Four questions that we need to ask. The first question is, why does Peter go fishing? The second question is, what's the deal with that charcoal fire? Third question would be, well, what does this have any significance, this charcoal fire, for you and for me? What is your fire and my fire? And lastly, what's the surprising question that Jesus gives to Peter? And what is he asking of you and me in the same way? Let's listen to what he says. Why is Peter fishing? Everybody knows Peter likes to go fishing. But unlike this Peter, the other Peter is not real good at fishing, is he, right? Every time he fishes, he doesn't catch anything, unless Jesus intervenes. When was the last time that St. Peter went fishing? 3.5 years earlier. He's been on a 3.5 year hiatus, because what was that last time? It was when Jesus called him, right? Pushing off in the boat, and as soon as he got a great catch of fish, he says, Jesus, get away from me. I'm a sinful man. This has been a long time since he's gone fishing. So why is Peter fishing today? Remember what has just gone on. Jesus appeared to his disciples 2 times already, right? He's already done it on 2 consecutive Sundays, Easter Sunday, Pastor Walls, and the second Sunday when Thomas was finally around on Divine Mercy Sunday, he came back through and he appeared to him those 2 times, all in a group on these consecutive Sundays. But Peter and Jesus, they haven't had a talk yet, and they need to have a talk. Peter's fishing because on this day, he's agitated, he's unnerved. Because Peter knows something about himself that nobody else knows. Nobody else knows that St. Peter has denied Jesus 3 times. Peter's embarrassed because he knows that Jesus remembers it. And so in the face of this, the joy of the resurrection isn't enough to cover it over for him. We all know this, don't we? When we have offended somebody, when we've hurt somebody in some way and we know that they know about it too, what do? We try to avoid them, right? In order to get beyond that thing, we have to have a talk. We have to speak about the thing that is so terrible between you and me. We don't want to talk. I spoke to the first communicants. They told me all sorts of things that they do to avoid having that conversation with mom and dad, with their brothers and sisters and their friends who they share their secrets about. We avoid that talk. Well, this talk hasn't happened yet between Jesus and Peter. And so that's why he goes fishing. Peter was thinking, I know myself. I know all those promises that Jesus made to me. He said I was his rock. He said that he was going to give me the keys to the heaven. He put his faith totally in me, and what did I do? I blew it, big time. All those days are over. He's never going to set me back. Every one of us is like Peter. The temptation is for you and me to think of the moment that I've sinned, the moment that I've blown it, the moment that I've disobeyed in a big way, that we think that Jesus is going to say, well, it's been nice. Now that I see what you've done, I think I'm going to go find somebody else better to bestow my graces upon, because obviously you don't care for them the way you trash them, the way you trash me. That's why Peter goes fishing today. So what's the deal with the charcoal fire? Let's recap a little bit. Jesus, what happens that day? The gospel, what's going on? They're fishing. Jesus appears. They make a miraculous catch, 153 large fish. They recognize Jesus. John says, it's the Lord. Peter freaks out and says, I love him so much, leaps into there almost naked, by the way, and then goes out and swims the whole way just to be the first one to find Christ. Jesus is there, already cooking fish, saying, I don't need what you guys caught. I brought my own. Let me feed you over a charcoal fire. If you look through all of sacred scripture, ask Father Sennett, he'll tell you the same thing. Look through the entirety of the book of sacred scripture, you'll never find another place in the whole of sacred scripture that ever talks about a charcoal fire. Except one. And where's that other time that a charcoal fire happens in sacred scripture? Fabian knows, only because he heard it a couple hours ago. That's right. 3 hours earlier. Three chapters earlier. What happened there? In three chapters earlier within the scripture, what's going on there? It's Holy Thursday evening or really Good Friday morning, super early. It's cold. Jesus has just been betrayed by a kiss. Everybody scatters. Jesus has been arrested in this way. Peter follows at a distance. He doesn't want to get too close because he knows he'll be thrown in just like his Lord. And so he stays and keeps a distance. He's there warming himself in that cool early morning hours by a charcoal fire with a bunch of maids around him, with a bunch of servants who are there but woken up in the middle of the night, with a bunch of soldiers who are standing guard. And Peter is asked three times, do you know Jesus? Do you know the man that they're trying on the inside? And three times Peter says, no, I don't know him. And the third time he goes really, really severe with it, doesn't he? He says some things that I can't say here in the church. But to paraphrase, what does he say? It's even bad enough paraphrasing. He says the third time, may I be forever damned to hell if I even know who that man is. Cursing up and down. And what happens right after that? Cock crows. And right after that, Jesus comes up and he meets the eyes of Jesus. Jesus has seen everything. He predicted it. And now he's broken even more. So charcoal fire is what? It's a symbol. It's symbolic of the most painful, the most embarrassing, the most humiliating moment in all of St. Peter's entire life. What is it? That charcoal fire is a trigger. A trigger of the worst day that Peter has ever had in his life. I think Jesus builds that charcoal fire in that way to look exactly like the charcoal fire that was there because he's God and can do it. He intentionally does it so that Peter will see it. He wants Peter triggered. Jesus is saying, Peter, I know exactly what you've done. It's all right. I'm not going to lie, it hurt. It hurt a great deal more than anything else I experienced there because you're my guy. But it is all right. But you know what? That's the reason why I went to the cross. I did it just for that, just for you, so you don't have to be afraid. But in order for you to be forgiven, you have to confront what you've done with me. We gotta have this talk. I'm not here to rub your nose in it like you would with a dog, but you need to know that there is forgiveness exactly there in that spot. That's what my forgiveness is for. Because I don't forgive anybody in a generic way. I only forgive concrete sins. So let's talk about it. Let's point the finger at it. So let's make it personal. Think about it for a moment. Close your eyes. What's your charcoal fire? What's that moment in your life? What's that moment in my life that causes you the most embarrassment, the most shame, the most pain, that greatest moment of humiliation? Maybe it's an addiction that you got. Maybe it's some gambling problem that you really don't want to tell anybody about, or you're embarrassed to speak about it in some way because you know it's wrong. Maybe it's the amount of alcohol you consume when you're alone, or maybe even when you're out with the others. Maybe it's some prescription drugs that you're certainly not using on label. Because you need a release. Maybe it's the release that you get from looking at pornography. Maybe it's a relationship that you began one time when you went out on a business trip out there when nobody else was around and you were feeling all alone. Maybe it's something that you've continued. And now you shouldn't be. Maybe it's an abortion that you had when you felt like there was absolutely no option. You just couldn't see any other way forward. Maybe something that we're sitting here today wishing to God, wishing beyond all hope, if I could only have that moment back, I would make a different choice. Just give me another chance, God, I'd do it right. I really wouldn't screw up like I did that night. I'd be the best man, the one I know you could see. Just only say the word, by your side I'll be. I don't want that thing to define me. Don't let it define me. So go there right now. Close your eyes and sit by that charcoal fire. As those flames go up and snap and crackle and pop, look across them. See there the eyes of Jesus. He's meeting your eyes and he's looking right at you. Listen to Jesus' shocking question. Was Jesus' surprising question that he turns to Peter and that he also says to you and me when we're all here together at a charcoal fire? Remember, Peter recognizes the situation. It's not lost on him. He remembers his sin. He's totally triggered. He winces, he cringes in fear, and he's bracing for an impact because he knows this is where Jesus really is going to let him have it because he deserves to get it good. So Jesus looks across him and he says, they're just alone. It's the two of them. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter knows what he's going to say. And he thinks he knows what Jesus is going to say in response to that. He knows he's going to say, yes, Lord, I do love you like a friend. And he expects Jesus to say after that, like a friend? Yeah, right. If you love me, then where were you? Why did you abandon me to those men? You cursed yourself saying you didn't even know me. You swore up and down. We saw it. And then I was beaten. And then I carried the cross. And then I hung there for 3 hours in utter agony. And you couldn't even be bothered to go there and stand by me. You love me? Some friend you are. Peter, where did you go? Jesus didn't say that, did he? He didn't say that. Jesus says to you. He says to you, Dylan. He says to you, Carlos. He says to you, Giselle. He talks to you and he says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And say to him, yes, Lord, I like you a lot. In that, there's no accusation. There's no condemnation. There's just one command. And what does Jesus say? He says, take care of my people. Tend my flock. Take care of my lambs. That's all he says. And what does it mean? He's meaning, give my people what I'm giving you right now, Peter. Give them the same mercy when they fall. Give them a chance to start over. Give them peace. Give them an opportunity for reconciliation. Help them get back on their feet again. Because you know, Peter, like few people know, that I love to forgive. Just give them my forgiveness. So why do we do this? What do we do in response to what is going on here? Some of us, in truth, even though it is the third Sunday already of the Easter season, we've really not been able to make our Easter duty for real. Because some of us haven't found the time to really go into that room. We've not gone into the confessional. I go into the confessional every day. Not a single day goes by where I don't go to the confessional. So there's some of us who are afraid to name the thing that we've never had the courage to name before in our lives can actually have that thing named. When it's named, it's destroyed and forgiven. Earlier this week, I spent some time with somebody. 3 hours with them. And in the 3 hours, there was somebody who felt totally bound by something that happened 10 years ago, which for them being young, that's an extreme part of their life. Felt like they couldn't breathe most of the time for 10 years. And after that, not only did they go away forgiven, but a relative of theirs called me up afterwards and said, Father, you're not going to believe this. And when I was there hanging out with them, right after you left, I was smelling roses. And so I went, I said, oh, good. Something must be coming through the window, but the window was closed. And I went outside and I checked around the yard and there was nothing coming outside. And then when I came back inside, that smell of roses was following my relative around. So I just followed them. I think they're different now, Father. I think something changed. Go there. Go there. The charcoal fire the Lord has brought you to, let him set you free. Let him kill that thing in the past and leave it there, utterly destroyed, as we spoke about last week on Divine Mercy Sunday. If you've already been there to the box, if you've already gone to the confessional, then there's a message is this. Whatever you received there, that wasn't just for you to have for yourself and be selfish. The same mercy that you received is supposed to be something that you're to give freely in the exact same way with others. Where does it got to start, though? The hard place. Home. It's got to start with the most difficult people to love. It's your husband. It's your wife. It's your kids. It's your siblings. It's your parents. That's the co-workers who are fighting against you every single day and showing you things that they shouldn't, that you don't want to see, that they've been putting in your hands that you don't even want to look at. Your neighbors. That might even mean your priests or your deacons. What Jesus is doing is he's inviting you and me to go with him, to have that chat. He's present here at Mass. We've got to talk about that thing. We're all walking toward that charcoal fire here, and don't let what we're doing here at Mass become an empty ritual, because it's not an empty ritual. It's a super abundant ritual given to us just by Christ, instituted by him in a way that it happens here, like unlike anywhere else in the universe. We are walking toward that charcoal fire of God's immense love as he's looking at you and I in that very place, wanting us to be triggered so that we can get rid of it. He's standing right here, Jesus is. And there's no judgment. All there is forgiveness. It's true. If you haven't been to Mass every single Sunday, not a grave excuse. If you failed in your chastity, even in some small way, if you gravely wounded somebody's character by speaking gossip about them, if you've approved of somebody's grave sins, yeah, of course, that's mortal sin. You can't go to confession. Or rather, you can't go to communion. But you can come to confession. He waits for you in that confessional to say the words that you long to hear, the only thing that can actually set you free. And what's that? I forgive you. That's it. And in the confessional, Jesus only asks one question. There's only one question that our Lord asks each of you and me every time we go there. It's the same every time. What does he say? He looks at you and me and asks us. He calls us by name, not in general, not generic, by name. Do you love me? And our response needs to be, Lord, you know everything. I just told you all my sins in the confessional through the priest. You know that I want to love you, even though I don't love you real well. Just please forgive me anyway. Help me to love you more. And as Fabian will tell you, because he probably hears me saying it under my breath a million times a day when I'm at Mass. But that's the prayer that I pray all the time. Before I preach, before I go to the confessional, all throughout Mass, when I wash my hands, everything. I'm saying it over and over again when I lift the chalice. Jesus, I love you the best that I can. Not real good most of the time. But help me to love you more. And when you pray that prayer, he's there, the charcoal fire looking at you and me, says, it's good enough now. It's good enough now. I'll take care of the rest. Just like he went to Peter, he says, do you love me? When you answer that, the only response that he gives you is, what I did for you, do to others. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.